The group at the university I'm also a member of, but I'm not in the picture. This picture was taken before. Does in research on free software engineering approaches on how they trying to study what free software does and how can it apply to other other things that are not free software, especially looking at how volunteer KD in open source project works and how do they manage to get things done and what are the results, what how is quality in that. I think I'll probably have to get an adapter for and they get European funded projects in order to do this kind of quality analysis of open source stuff. And one of the things they've done, and they were known of a few years ago, was starting a study on counting Debian releases. So getting statistics about Debian releases. So this talk is about that. So basically, and this is one of the things I introduced in the talk that was not initially in the presentation. So it's about some lies and lies and some statistics. There's also some nice graphs there on the presentation. Actually, people that went to DEF CON 5, I don't know how many of here went to this talk. I think the people at the university gave the same talk about Sarge, I believe. Was it Sarge? Yes, I think it was Sarge, yes. So it's kind of the same talk, updated for Edge with some trends, comparisons between Sarge and Edge, but fresh data from Edge. And it tries to give an overview of how Debian has grown into Edge and maybe drop some questions in there if that is sustainable or not. I didn't introduce myself. For those that don't know me, Javier Fernandez Sanguino, so it's a very long name. It's right here next to the other long name there, this one. I'm working at the university as an assistant professor, so that's why they induced me to give this talk. But I've been Debian developer for over 8 years now, I think, nine. So what summary for this talk, I'm going to show you some information that they've gotten about Debian Edge, the latest release, with lines of code, different, I'm actually going to introduce how they do this stuff and how they produce these numbers, because there's some things that have to be taken into account with the methodology they use. It has some caveats, so you have to know them before you start going telling me the numbers are lies, even though I already said they're going to be lies. Some information about the release, lines of code in the release, a distribution of use of programming languages in the release, with some things that might be new to the people that have been working with Debian for quite a long time. About packages, which packages are the biggest ones in distribution. Also, there's a very nice information based on the Kokomo model that tries to model how much time, given source lines of code, how much time would somebody take to do that a project if he were to do it from scratch, okay? So we'll see that too. We'll see some comparisons with other operating systems, some previous releases of Debian, and we also will see what are the things that this research group is going to do in order to keep researching how Debian has evolved through time, okay? So I'm going to skip this one. This is intended for a more general audience. You all know what Debian is. So one of the main things is that even though they're analyzing the release, they're also taking into account maybe things that have not been released yet, but are available in source code, including the new kernels that might be released in Lenny. But for the purposes of the research they do, even though we're working with four different distributions, stable testing and stable and experimental. They only focus, we only focus, I don't know whether it's they or we in this presentation, on the stable release. So there's no data on how testing and stable is going forward. Actually, Enrico Cini was asking me if we could get numbers for the next release, so we could add that data, that as information to the packages, so somebody could say, give me information about the packages that are over maybe 100,000 lines of code and see which are those, and try to distinguish maybe packages between those that are big ones and those that are small, or maybe those that are programming in Java, or those that are programmed mainly in C or C++. So we might do some analysis later for testing, not for this presentation, but might be available in the future. So the methodology the group uses to do this analysis is basically take all the archive and pack it and run analysis tools over it with some things that have to be done in addition in order to get meaningful results, like trying to distinguish which packages provide the same thing that some other packages do, but maybe slightly different, so maybe different versions of the same program, like GCC, which we distribute version 2.95, 3.3, 3.4, 4.1, 4.2, so maybe all these different versions of essentially the same software do not get counted four times, which might make somebody think that Debian is bigger than it actually is, because it's, all those versions are essentially the same software, a different version of the same software. So there's some work done on not just unloading running tools, but after the tools are run, trying to distinguish which packages are providing the same software and try to only count one of them and not all of them. Okay, and after that, is being run through all the archive, you get a result. And the result is the physical sort lines of code for all the software and distribution and all the different packages and in a given version. It's physical and it's not logical, because the tool used, which is David Wooler's log count, cannot get logical lines of code. You can only get physical lines of code. So for somebody, if somebody in C has done a very large line, which is actually different, many 10 lines of code, but only in one single line, physical line, they only get counted one, okay? Because that's the limitation of tools being used. Also using slot count, we will try to identify different programming languages per package, so, and also get information about which packages use which programming languages, maybe get an overview of how many programming languages are given taken on average on the different packages available, and also try, as I said before, to identify files that might be the same across packages. Slotkind also provides this, and this is also done to get some basic information on what would Debian or the software that is distributed in Debian cost if you develop it using traditional techniques, software engineering techniques. So there's some issues with this approach, basically, and this is something that is due to maybe in Debian we don't package software the same way. So people tend to develop their own tools to package software, so you get things like Yara and CDBS, which kind of hinder this automatic analysis of tools. I even had issues when I tried to do security audits with some other tools that were working. I talked about this, I think, last year in Mexico. If you're using automatic tools and you get into packages it's not easy to unpack them and get to the real source code, well, you're not going to get those packages properly analyzed. How this is solved in this count, and you'll see there are some issues here, is by trying to find binary files within the binary source, within the source packages, trying to find binary files and uncompress them unconditionally. So you find, if you get a Debian package, Debian source package, that within it has a tar GC file, then uncompress that and keep analyzing the data from the nodeworks. There's the issue which has to be handled manually, based on the data obtained, that some packages are actually the same but different versions. Okay, some software is reused in many packages. So like maybe libraries, instead of being used in an external library, it has been embedded in the packages. I think this happens rather commonly, and I remember at least one instance of the media decoders that the libraries like FFmpeg, is that right? It's actually included in many different players, video players, instead of having a library for that. So that source code is replicated, is duplicated actually in many different pieces. And if you don't scrap that out, it's going to be counted like maybe four or five different times, even if it's the same code. And also, there's some issues found in stuff, and you'll see why. Because of the way we distribute packages, some of us distribute packages. I'm here one to blame because I actually have one package in Jada, which I believe is one that is scheduled to be killed in the for the next release. But CDBS might remain. But when you have patches within patches, it's difficult to determine how to get the real lines of code. And we essentially do not do it a single way, so they have to develop different scripts to talk for all this stuff. So you'll see this is the size of Debian X. So that's the, those are the numbers, the final numbers based on all the packages. So that's 260 million source lines of code. Only taking into account the upstream packages, so only taking the upstream source code. If you take into account the Debian source code, that's that goes 23 million source lines of code more to the upstream. That's not actually all patches introduced by Debian. That's also takes into account software which is only distributed by Debian. Okay, so that is the source code of the patches introduced by Debian and the source code of the softwares that are of the software that is only available in Debian, like maybe DPKG, DI, or ABT. So that is included there. When you scrap out the Debian directory, well, the count you get for source lines of code is that 17 million source lines of code. Okay, that might be, it has not been investigated yet, why is this increase, if this is due to patches, maybe some source code has been heavily patched, and that includes a lot of source lines of code. I remember Chrome, which I maintain, is there's like, from the upstream, is there's 100 revisions made by the Debian package, so that introduces a lot of code, so that's a lot of lines of code. Or maybe that's based on, maybe that's because of the different packages which are only Debian specific. That has not been yet defined, okay? So, one question for the audience. What do you believe in Debian X? Because this has changed from Sarge. Are the five most used programming languages? So we get the
C.
C, well that's easy. That has been for a long time. C++.
Perl.
Python. Python. That's not one of the five most used.
Shell.
You have one
Makefile?
Left. What?
Makefile?
No. Java. So those are the counting the different programming languages per package and summing them up. That's the distribution of language programming languages in Debian. There's a very interesting thing which has changed a lot here from Sarge, and that's Java, which has jumped, was way downline, has duplicated the number of lines of code from Sarge to Edge, and it's way over it's over Perl, over Python, which one would think that it's has been there has been a lot of development in Python recently. Many people have ditched Perl and started writing just coding Python. But the one that has jumped most has been Java.
Are there conclusions you would like us to draw about the efficiency of writing in the language?
Well, there's one interesting thing that is measurement of source of the mean of source lines of code per package. That could be interesting to determine if that's more higher in Java programs than in C or C++ programs. But that could be done later. But that's not been done. So I don't know if that's only three or four packages. Actually, one package that contributes a lot of that, I think it's OpenOffice, which has a lot of Java stuff.
How much does Eclipse count for?
I don't know. We can look. We have all the data there. If you want to, those questions we have, we can solve them really easily.
Where did you find assembler compilers?
There's some, I don't know, there's some there, other, we can
find some GCC.
Would you like to look back? I can give you the list of packages that are in packages ARC specific because they don't build anywhere but x86 because I'm using assembler.
I remember these. John, for example, John the Reaper, the cracker of Passwords, has assembly code inside.
There are a lot of libraries that have assembler optimized routines for popular architectures.
Also, CPU behaviors.
So like PHP for example is not that high up in the list, and that one has surprised me. And TCO has been dropping for a while. One of the meaningful things here is that if you take distribution, that's the distribution of programming languages for Edge, and you compare it with that Sharp. Okay. That's Arch. You can see that C and C++ is going up, C is going down. Okay, Java has jumped way up and has displaced Python and Perl, and Lisp has gone way down, actually. It is not any longer the 5 most used programming languages and packages. Okay? If you want more detail on data, all this is available, so you can play with all of that if you want to.
So Lisp not only dropped out of the top 5,
yeah,
it actually dropped. It was above Perl before and dropped below
it? It dropped below, it's on number 6, I believe. 5, 6.
So it dropped from 4 to 6.
Yeah.
So
that dropped from 3% to 70%. Mm-hmm. Actually, that's the distribution. The number of lines of code has grown. So that doesn't mean that the lines of code is less code than it was in Sarge. That's why it might be the same code, even more code. But there's much more code introduced in Edge with Java and C++ on this. There's a bias in some of these statistics, and you will see now. So, as I said, ANSI C is being used less, C++ and Java being used much more. Java specifically has increased a lot, so I believe the Stadium security team has to start learning Java. Because that's they're going. If that has increased a lot, it probably will increase soon. Because I believe we didn't release Edge with GDK, right? I know this sans official GDK, but that will be I think solved for Lenny, and that will make us get even more Java stuff into the archive. Good. So, what do you believe are the two largest packages in Debian?
OpenOffice,
that's a good one. And the second one?
KDBase.
No.
Pityform?
Mozilla
Browser.
That's the main question. That's the main question.
Mozilla Browser. Eclipse?
No. No.
I thought it was kernel.
Yeah, that's a good one. That was easy. I thought you said the kernel first.
Oh, no.
It takes longer to build Mozilla than it takes to build Mozilla.
So yeah, you see, well, iSwiss lines all over there, Eclipse also over there, and that one is one of the things I've reviewed the presentation. I've noticed that it is one of the things that have biased probably this vision a little bit, is that this has been counted. Dale, you're responsible for this, because
actually,
of course,
not anymore.
You're still in the upload for this one. So that package, actually, I was really surprised when I saw this or when reviewing the presentation. That's one of the things that has made the it kind of biases the some of data. So we probably have to review it without it. And it's when Juan Jose was developed his data, finalized it. He then taken into account that this packaging includes a lot of libraries, compilers, debuggers, which are actually, the GCC includes all the libraries. So the tools took that package, unpacked it, unpacked all the sources, and
it's
then counted.
It's a hack.
So that 230 megabyte package was counted as unique, when it's actually the rehashing of many different packages. So that probably has to be stripped out and removed and taken into account.
Yeah, we can do that.
Taken out of the list. You see, for example, that in the list, GCC different versions are actually the same size, but they have been removed to only try to count GCC once. But actually, it's being counted twice because it's inside number 3. Well, actually, it's being counted fivefold, because I think that number three includes GCC 3.3, GCC 4.1, and GCC 4.2.
I swear, we'll try and get rid of that.
The thing that's not on here is IA32 lives as GTK because it was too buggy to be included.
So, actually, I added here, the top 10 packages are basically, if you take list, or even take top 100, are basically either development tools or end-user software, so that's Mozilla, or iSweezel, iStop, and Evolution are on the top 100 packages, so those are the biggest software we have. K3BSD was on the list, but II leaves. Put it down, it's number 11, so it's actually number 10. So it should be over there, listed too. Yes?
What was VNC exactly? I thought it was supposed to be famous for its simplicity.
Which one?
VNC 4 was in the
list. I really don't know, but it's really big. And it's been, it was in the top 10. It was in the top 10.
Because it included copies of the X sources? Yeah. Does it? Yeah, it provides
an X.
I'm buggy one.
Yeah. I have a question why we're. You know, MKDE desktop and such environment went on the list because they also have a package that has a whole
lot. Yeah, but the, actually, one of the things that is not on the list that was on the list in charge is X. And now X has been split a lot, so it's no longer on the list. It was always on the top 10 list. Yeah.
This is because of the packaging?
Node builds is a number of discrete units that are distributed as part of upstream, and so it's KDE, so none of those individually.
Yeah, if you probably sum up all the environment, it might get in the list, but if you sum up the individual upstream sources, they don't. I mean,
so product is not listed as product, is it listed as packages?
That's correct.
Upstream tarballs, yes. Yeah. Those are upstream tarballs.
If you look at some of the things on this list, VNC4 is on the list because it includes a copy of the X server. And if it were broken out so that it needed to duplicate that source, it would not be on the list. Eclipse includes a full copy of SWT GTK that it distributes as part of the Eclipse source. Yeah. So if that were now needed to be distributed as part of Eclipse,
so one of the things it's on further work here is actually trying to get more precise on how what the code reviews is being done. So that actually could help a lot to try to clean the archive.
Maybe some of the packages were just done.
Yeah. But what is interesting here is that if you take into account the top 100 packages we add on list, that's a bigger list. It used to be in 2.0, that used to be about 65% of the distribution of the source lines of code. And even with these packages that are being counted twice, three times, the top 100 list of packages is only 34%, and it's always going down. That's because most of the archive is composed of very small packages. Mm-hmm. So we get more packages in the release, and they're very small, and that increased the overall lines of code, but top 10 remains the same, but they're not contributing that much to the overall count. You see that later on. This is the logarithm scale for all the package size. You have a few packages on this side, with over 100,000 lines of code, and you get a lot of packages which are, this is logarithm, so that's the sum, and the average is over here. That's the average size of our packages in the archives, 28,000 source lines of code, and that's that count. This has been done already for all the releases. It has not changed much between releases. So the average package in the release is about 20,000-30,000. 30,000 lines of code, consistently from potato to edge. So there are very big packages, but there's also a lot of small packages. Okay, so this is a nice question, and you cannot get the answer right for this one.
Something like monkeys in here, isn't it?
Sorry?
Monkeys and top brushes.
Yeah, monkeys writing code. Or copying code.
Expensive monkeys.
Expensive monkeys. So
this is standard commercial methodology, right? Yes, he's spreading code.
Yeah, that's the standard. So if you use a common model, that's a standard used for classical engineering, and that's used as reference, and that's what the papers, the we take this data, we publish a paper saying this is what Debian is worth. So what we tell the media, you know, technical papers, is that Debian 4.0 is worth $6.7 billion USD or 5,000 million euros based on the source license code. Okay. So if it took, it would take 9 years to develop. If we not Debian all the, oh no, obviously this does not include all the things we've done in Debian. This includes all upstream. So if you try to develop all the operating system you have there, it will take 9 years. It will cost you that much.
So that's like 1.5 times the current market capitalization of Red Hat for comparison.
I like the scheduled time is nearly 9 years. How long has Debian been around? So we're about 3 years behind schedule.
How many people will have to be involved in the
9 years? Well, you have to divide actually the 9 years by the person years to get the number of people you would need to develop. So that's a very nice figure, actually. Yes.
I'm actually feeling really good. We've never had 7,340.
How many people would be hired for 9 years?
Well, you divide 73,000 by 9. That's the number of people you need to develop. That's you see. I mean, that's a very nice figure. That might sound flashy, but that's also a way to show that those models are not a way good way to determine the cost of service. But okay, but these are the classically used.
Is this really a lot? I mean, I think Google gives me that Microsoft could with its cash recreate the whole thing in Debian 6 times just with what they have. Cash.
Yeah, but it would take him 9 years.
It's
extremely expensive to sell a crappy product. You need people to do that too.
To give you a sense of scale, that's 7% of HP's annual revenue last year.
So again,
complete
market capitalization of Red Hat.
You haven't counted in the marketing, the sales, the deployment,
that's
all
just
the things that is
that's
also a little add on top.
Well, you know,
marketing
is about
zero.
But usually you come 1 to 3 or 1 to 5. It depends the size of what you're doing in the company.
Also, this is interesting, and this is a comparison of Debian with other operating systems. Actually, the median source lines of code for obviously non-free operating systems are not really known. They're just estimates. Somebody just says 30 million, or maybe somebody within Microsoft says this is that many million source lines of code. But the good comparison is with other free operating systems like Fedora. See over there, or Open Solaris, which also they have the in the group, they haven't done the analysis of that. And you can see that, well, obviously, compared to non free software, Debian is much bigger, but it's actually much bigger than other free software projects, also.
But right? And these are the adjusted numbers that exclude duplicated code.
No, but even if you divide by 2, you get higher numbers. I mean, you can divide, I mean, if you get, you say, gross. This is a gross estimate. Divided by 2, you still 2 times Fedora Core, and Fedora Core has been counted using the same methodology. So, I mean,
but
that includes
Fedora Core only ships one copy of GCC, as far as I know. I don't think that's a feature of Debian that we ship 4 copies of GCC.
No, but those copies have been scrubbed off the numbers.
They have.
Yeah, okay. But not when they're within IF32. But I mean, those numbers are trying to remove packages that have been. Actually, if you go to the website, you will not find GCC 3.3 on the list. Okay, those have been removed, trying not to add up to the total amount.
So actually, it's more lines of code in there.
Yeah, but yeah. Duplicated
and
lines of code.
It has kind of people have added, that has also added value that you have retracted from the whole numbers you presented.
Yeah,
but
I mean, that's duplicated versions of the same thing.
Yeah, this is the number I want to see because it gives a better idea of useful lines of code in there as opposed to raw lines of code.
Yeah.
I think that's very subjective.
So you can see here one thing. You can see here one thing, and I can show you here. That's the if you compare Edge with other Debian releases, even if you take into account this gross estimates, and there's things that have been counted twice, they have been counted twice in all releases. You see that the growth of Edge versus Ham is like 11 times, versus Woody is almost 3 times, and Charge is only 1.2 times, so it's not as big The very big change that was introduced in Version 5 talk was from booting to search, which actually duplicated the source lines of code. Okay, and there's a question here because the number of data developers does not grow as fast as the number of source lines of code, and that's actually one of the nice graphs I had. With the growth of source lines of code packages, you'll see the packages, source packages, and source lines of code actually follow the same trend, and that's because most of the packages are very simple packages that have a, you know, the 20,000, 30,000 source lines of code, so they grow the same. So there's a big change probably in from, there's actually a big change from Boolean search, which is OpenOffice, I believe, was introduced in search, right? Or was it introduced in Boolean already?
OpenOffice was first in search.
First in search, I believe?
Okay. That was when Star Office was.
Well, first in Boolean, we can see that, okay. But
we used the backport for Boolean, so I think it was
But you can see that even if some of the top 10 elements were introduced at that point, doesn't, you know, there's no growth there. But you can see the number of developers have, since the release is not growing that fast. So we have a lot of code, not many developers. So who's going to handle
that? The maintainers
for us. That's based on the vote. That is based on the vote of the Debian developer elections, Debian leader elections. Because actually, db.debian.org is maintainers which are not as active.
Right. So there's two things that caused the shape of that line to change that I think are interesting. One is it was after Woody that we first started culling old non-active maintainers, and so what's interesting is that horizontal line means that we have maintained or slightly increased the number of reasonably active developers, whereas prior to that, the slope of the line was just how many people had accreted
database
over time. The second interesting thing is it's after Woody that the concept of sponsored uploads really got started. And so there's more work being done by people that actually gets into the archive without somebody actually
maintaining. One of the things that they're working a paper for is doing an analysis of volunteer work on Debian based on Debian developed changes mailing, which might be useful to determine not only who is uploading, but who is contributing, who is actually the maintainer for the package. So and the numbers for maintainers are different. And one of the things, nice things there, is actually they can analyze the time it takes for somebody to enter Debian and to leave Debian, which is on average like six and a half years before they get burnout and they go.
And they
does that measure take into account when they enter the NM queue?
Yeah.
I want to see those numbers adjusted for how long the person spent in the NM queue. I want an argument for shortening the NM queue time.
Well, that could be done, but if they're making uploads while they're in an MQ, that will include them. But that time is actually is based on data from Gato to I believe Sarge. I don't think Edge has been included then, and it is still being developed. But they're, one of the things they're going to do is more analysis on the maintainer side.
The other thing I'd like to see on this graph is, you talked about Debian ML changes, another thing that can be mined out of that is the rate of frequency of uploads per package, which I would like to see how that compares with this increasing trend of number of raw packages in the archive. Where do we fall between these two lines in terms of how many uploads we see per package as a metric of how well individual packages are being maintained? Mm-hmm. Is it keeping pace, or do we have lots of packages in the archive because we're not cleaning out the ones that aren't maintained?
Actually, one of the things, there's a paper, I'm going to, in the reference, you will see the reference to where the papers are. There's some interesting paper, there was the analysis done between Potato and Sarge of the archive of versions of the packages, and there are actually packages and versions which had not changed in Potato from Sarge, which were exactly the same version, same package, same version. And you can see which ones had changed and which ones had not, and which one had removed from the archive. But that's something that can be done. In any case, just to summarize up, one of the things that that we've done for Sanch and we would like to do for Edge too is an analysis of the authorship and licenses used by the archive. That's something that there's a tool already done for that. So you can run it on the archive and get how many files are GPL licensed, GPL, BSD licensed, and how many, and who's the copyright owner for the files. So who's, is it the Free Software Foundation? Is it Sun? Is it HP? Is it, or if it's an individual developer? And that, that was done for Sarge, and it's going to be updated for Edge. Okay, so that will be a future paper that I'm going to make. And we're probably going to do analysis, more in-depth analysis. It was done for potato to Sarge. It will probably be updated for Edge to analyze how the distribution has evolved and how is it really growing. And couple that information from volunteer activity, because one of the things that this research group has been doing is taking information from mailing lists, packets of loads, CVS, SVN, and get that information in order, for example, to determine who is the project manager for a project based on mailing list activity and packets of loads, and who is working on what specific parts of code, and whether a release, for some of that, this was that, the study for Genome, whether a release, time release model is appropriate or not, and if there's like when you have time release, if you work all the time on the archive and then, you know, make a release, or whether you do all the work at the end of the release. So that has been done for other projects, BSD, Genome, and will probably try to be done for Debian, with the caveat that in Debian we don't have a CVS, SVN we can point people to analyze, because it's all distributed, and all we have is the packets load information, which is, can be used, but that's not a full information. So that doesn't give you information on maybe like you could get it, go to Alioth, if there's developer activity in between releases, or maybe if somebody goes, makes a lot of changes in one day, doesn't upload and forgets about the packet for a week, or for a week, for a month, and then goes next month, does a lot of changes, upload one, or whether he is working constantly on the package and then making a given upload at some point. So that is going to be done also, but it's not been done. Not been done already. So if you want, you can go to this website, debiancounting.linusoft.s, which will redirect you somewhere else, which has all the data of all the releases up to Edge. Okay, I think the only thing missing there is the graphs, which are not being generated right now for some of the releases, but that has all the information in this presentation and previous presentations of all the releases. Packet information, version information, you actually, I can show it to you guys here. Was here. This is, for example, information for Edge. So this is like a summary I gave you of all the information. And you have all the statistics per packages. So you can go to package information and see OpenOffice, which is the first one. How many lines of code it has, of what, which languages. You see that Java is 7% of OpenOffice over there. Maybe whether Eclipse has a lot of Java there, which is basically Java, right? So you got all the information, both for Edge and all the other releases. So if you want to play with this data, it's all there, available. Okay, I'm not trying to. So to end up, that's the number of source line code in Debian. That's the cost. You will see that those are the most used languages. And still, as compared to other distributions like Fedora Core or BSD, Debian still is, even with these cross-counting methods, you use biggest free software, free libre software compilation has been done. Okay, so if you want more information, those are the tools that have been used, Lockdown basically, with David Wheeler. That's the one that's going to be used with copyright analysis. I think the DPL mentioned that this morning that he wanted to do some analysis of what, of copyrights being used. Oh no, that wasn't the main list, right? GPL versus version 3 versus GPL version 2 or newer, try to collect that. There's a tool already to try to get that information, so that could be used. And there's some other tools over at that site. And all the papers are available also at that site. So you can get there all the papers from Sarge and back, and when new papers will publish with more information, they will be also available there. So that's all from my side. You have any questions for me?
I wasn't here from the beginning, so yeah. I don't know if it's been covered or not. I've been trying to also to analyze the number of Debian users, or it's just the...
No, that just software in the archive. There's other studies being done in order to try to get use the popcorn results to get some meaningful information from the packages, whether maintained packages are uploaded more quickly or that, but that even that popcorn doesn't represent all the users. There's no really, actually there's no information you can get from users right now. So this is only, this is basically software available on the archive and how much of it is and how distributed it is. Okay?
What's the thing put into sources.list when you install a new machine? Direct repositories, including security. So every machine out there is by default checking security.debian.org. Now, all those machines are downloading a full copy of the release file each time and then caching that locally. So with a little bit of magic to try and dispel intermittent squid proxies between end machines and our security.debian.org machines, which there are three, all we need to do is count the number of full downloads of that file between updates of that file to be able to get a lower limit of the number of installed machines. So AJ and I had a look at this last night, and for the first 2 weeks of Etch being out, there was no updates to the releases file. From one machine that was in the pool of three machines, we estimate the total installs of Etch during the first 2 weeks was around 100,000 systems. The longer that window between the releases file being updated, the more accurate it can come. But also, we don't currently serve the magic headers you need to be able to dispel squid from, or any other proxy.
Or NAT or whatever.
Yeah. Well, NAT you can get around. If I'm not looking at source IP addresses, I'm looking at full downloads of that file.
Okay.
So multiple machines behind a NAT will each download a full copy of the releases file, but squid will cache that.
Or any transparent proxy will do that also.
Yeah.
But squid proxies artificially deflate the figure
out. They do currently, so it's a minimum, a lower threshold. But by adding certain headers, which I'm trying to see if I can convince people to do, we should be able to tell Squid not to cache, but to force clients to refetch that, even through the Squid. Given that file's only 200 bytes or 100 bytes, that's not really going to be a big overhead to us. But we should be able to improve the accuracy of that number.
How does that compare to the popularity content number?
I haven't compared to that yet. It was only last night we looked at this, finally. I don't have access myself to the security logs.
Do you kind of do the same for older installations of data?
Yep, we were just looking at Etch at that stage, but the main thing is that you've got to have a file which is being downloaded and not updated, forcing those clients to re-download that file, otherwise you start counting
and
again
that,
from zero.
That was just one machine, so you
No, I had tripled it for that, for the 100,000 in the first 2 weeks. Yes. And rough heuristic. So that's the only place I can think of. If anyone else can think of another way to count installs, please let me know.
And that also does miss any machines that are installed without access to a network, because obviously.
Of course.
People do deploy different systems.
Yeah.
This is kind of what we see in Trolltech, that we have 100,000 downloads, and then they distribute queued in 24.7. Versions of KDE installed in Brazil. So anything we do in counting at home kind of is nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You lost. So everything is wrong. This is the same thing with Debian 2, that you have older ways of having a centralized repository as schools have in large installations.
Yeah.
And everything goes there.
Mm-hmm.
As probably Extremadura is one of that example.
Well, we have your own pool, so.
Yeah. And maybe four guys, I don't know, school Linux.
Well, we have counted, but it's a low number.
Yeah.
It's true about everybody having their own tools, but everybody's told them not to mirror security.
Yeah.
So we have a...
Yeah, but they will.
They will, of course. Again, it's still a lower threshold, but...
Yeah.
Okay.
So, any more questions? Then we're out of time. Next topic. Thank you very much.